Let's take our Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 20. I want to preach for you from verses 1 through 12. And then the next time we'll continue on down through this chapter. But the reason the Lord has directed me to preach from this chapter is because here we see how the Apostle Paul was used of the Lord to minister for the church of Christ in his day. This is a portion of Scripture whereby I find great comfort and encouragement and also exhortation, being one of the Lord's servants. These scriptures are written for our exhortation and our learning. We gather here each time as ministers of the Lord, along with the congregations over which He has placed us. But ministering the gospel and feeding the Lord's sheep is no light matter. There are many that seek to preach because they like the attention that it gives them. They like people looking to them, and they lift themselves up before the people. But to be a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, one that He has called out, is to be a servant. We don't preach and we don't minister for our own glory. All the glory belongs unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have just such an example in the life of the Apostle Paul. So I've entitled this message, The Manner and Message of a Gospel Preacher. The manner, that is, how a gospel preacher conducts himself. And the message of a gospel preacher is what the Lord has given him to proclaim every time he preaches. Now, the first point that I would note here concerning a gospel preacher is that he is one that must persevere in the face of all opposition.
Verse
Here in Acts 20 and verse 1, we read, "And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia." The key phrase here in verse 1 is "after the uproar." That word "uproar" literally means a riot. If you go back and look in Acts chapter 19, you'll find that Paul had been preaching the gospel in the city of Ephesus. And it's clear that the Lord had his elect in that city, because later on we read his epistle that he wrote to the Ephesians. What is amazing to me is that Ephesians was a city in a part of the world that we know today as Asia. More specifically, it would be in a country that we know today as Turkey. Sometimes we hear news about the country of Turkey, but it is predominantly today a Muslim country. And yet back in this day, some 2,000 years ago from now, the Lord purposed that the gospel be preached there. But as Paul preached in the city of Ephesus, and there was a great temple that was built to a goddess called Diana, it caused a riot. Here again we see the manner of a gospel preacher, in that the very message of Christ that we have to declare is going to stir sinners up. And even though at this point it forced Paul to have to leave the city, yet the Lord still had his people in that city that later would become a church and a congregation to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But the danger was so great, even for Paul's life, that the Lord directed him that he should leave the city at this point.
Kuza ida ali pamene pabona kuti anenekera kuzitopa mu mzindawo.
And so we find him here in verse 1 calling unto him the disciples. In other words, those that amongst the uproar the Lord did draw to himself. And I love the description here of this word where it says that he embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. So Paul could not leave without demonstrating the love that God had given him for these fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. He embraced them. That's a very strong word of love for them. Paul had actually spent 2 years in Ephesus preaching the gospel before now it became time for him to leave. And it was not easy for him to let go, to leave, even though there was persecution. We see here Paul was not leaving because of fearing any persecution, but I'm certain that even these that were there encouraged him to go for his own life's sake. And being persuaded that, yes, it was the Lord's will that he should move on, yet he demonstrates his affection for them before leaving. This is somewhat of the tension that even we may feel today as preachers of the gospel. Wherever we find the Lord's people, where he has blessed, our desire is to be with them, and yet there are times where the Lord purposes that we separate and move on, and yet our thoughts are always toward each other. And so we read here where the Lord directed him to go into Macedonia. That would be in modern day Greece. If we're going to preach these portions of Scripture, we really need to have a map open of that part of the world to be able to see where Paul was going from one place to another. That would be a good thing. Sometimes you may wonder why it is that you were forced to study the geography of the world when you were in school. Well, here's the reason. Because now in preaching, we go back and see all of these places that are actual places where the gospel was preached. And even if back when you were in school, you didn't take those lessons seriously, now, preaching the gospel, we realize the impact of what God purposed as to how the gospel should be preached in these places. So we become students of geography for the gospel's sake. It's like where each of you are preaching right now in Malawi. When I learn where it is that you are, whether it's Jenda, or whether it's Lilongwe, or Kasungu, wherever it is, I get my map out, and I look to see where these places are. In fact, I have a map that has little pin marks wherever each of you preachers are preaching. That helps me know where it is you are and how better even to pray for you. Just as important as the history of the book of Acts was and is, so now, today, it's important to see where the Lord is causing the gospel message to be carried. But just know that wherever the Lord does raise up preachers of the gospel, there's going to be opposition. And we are called to persevere in the face of all opposition, just like the Apostle Paul. So for Paul here to depart and go into Macedonia, if you look on a map, he had to cross a sea called the Aegean Sea to leave from Turkey to go into Greece. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians at one point, he talked about being in peril on land and peril on the sea. His life was in danger at many different times, and yet the Lord protected him. It can be dangerous, as you know, to travel from one place to another for the gospel's sake, and yet none of these things move us because we know it's the Lord who keeps us. So that's the first point that I see here with regard to a gospel preacher, that he must persevere in the face of all difficulties, all opposition.
Then
Now, moving on to verses 2 through 5 of my text, we see where the gospel minister is called upon to encourage and strengthen the Lord's people. We have a brother there that is sick and in the hospital, and it encouraged my heart to hear that some of you are planning to travel to be with him and encourage him even in his sickness and suffering. That's what the Lord's people do. It says in verse 1 that he departed to go into Macedonia, but verse 2 says, when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. So you can see he didn't just go straight into Greece, but as he traveled, he came across places where he had already been to preach the gospel, and he stopped in those places in order to encourage and exhort those that he found in those places. If you take the time to read chapters 16 through 17 of the book of Acts, you'll see how the Lord used the Apostle Paul through the message of the gospel to raise up many different congregations in this very area where he traveled. Now, not only did Paul go in these places to visit these different parts to preach the gospel for them, but we also understand that Paul was going around to collect some money for the relief of impoverished believers in Jerusalem. It wasn't that he was interested in their money or needed it, but there was a need in the church in Jerusalem, of which Paul speaks to the Corinthians later, and so he encouraged them to gather together money that he could take for the encouragement of the church in Jerusalem. Now, what is of interest here is that these congregations were actually Gentile congregations. They weren't even Jewish, because the Lord raised up Paul to go preach to the Gentiles. And yet the church in Jerusalem was a Jewish congregation. So here we have Gentiles that the Jews typically had nothing to do with, them being objects of the Lord's grace. Now they, in turn, are looking after the needs of the Jewish congregation in Jerusalem. This shows us then that God's purpose was to have a people among the Gentiles as well as the Jews and call them out for Christ's sake. But as I said, his primary purpose was to preach the gospel. When Paul was writing to the Romans, in Romans chapter 15, and verse 19, speaking of his time in going and preaching in this particular area, he declares that it was for this purpose to fully preach the gospel of Christ. He says in verse 19, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so Paul, when he went through this particular region, declares that it was to preach the gospel of Christ. Illyricum that he mentions here was an area on the eastern coast of what is known as the Adriatic Sea, but it was part of the mainland just west of Italy where Rome was. So what we see here is that as Paul traveled, wherever he found any of the Lord's people that the Lord had raised up, his purpose was to preach to them the gospel of Christ, and that would be for their strengthening and their encouragement. Coming back to my text in Acts chapter 20 and verse 3, we see that this was during a 3-month period that he traveled and preached as he made his way through Greece. And it says here in verse 3, when the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. So after he'd preached, his thought was, even to go into Syria, which was back across the sea again toward the east, and yet the Lord directed him to continue to remain there in Greece. So this is the third point that I would underscore concerning a gospel minister. We've seen that the gospel minister must persevere in the face of all opposition. That's the first point. Secondly, we've seen that the gospel minister encourages and strengthens the Lord's people wherever they're found. But the third point I would underscore is that the gospel minister travels and displaces wherever the Lord directs. We've discussed this before, how today, wherever there are different places where the Lord has put his gospel witness, we didn't sit down with a map and decide, well, I think we're going to put a congregation here, or I think we're going to put a congregation there. No, it's as the Lord directs. If we have to sit down and plot and strategize and determine, well, it's going to be here, it's going to be there, that's not the Lord's work. If there is a congregation today in Lilongwe, or one in Jenda, or wherever the Lord has put a congregation there in Malawi, it's the Lord that has done that. It's not we that have determined these things. I tell our congregation here in Shreveport all the time that there is no reason in the world we should ever know each other except that God purposed to put a church here. I had been preaching the gospel in Ivory Coast for 14 years. I had no thought at all of ever coming to Shreveport, Louisiana to preach the gospel. In fact, if you had mentioned the name Shreveport to me at that time, I wouldn't have even known where to find it on a map. In fact, at that time, if you had told me the name of the town, Shreveport, Louisiana, I would not even have known where to find it on a map. And yet the Lord used a serious illness that he brought upon my wife to cause us to leave Africa and direct my paths here to Shreveport. That's how he works. But I'm thankful still to be in contact with many of those that during that time the Lord caused to hear the gospel. And now there are congregations over in that part of Africa, from West Africa all the way to South Africa, where the Lord has his people that he's raised up, and to him be the glory. So God sovereignly works in determining where it is that his preachers will go. In verse 1 of my text here in Acts 20, the Lord used an uproar to cause Paul to depart and go into Greece. And for 3 months, he was able to preach the gospel in that part of the world. Now, this is interesting because in verse 3 it says, when the Jews laid wait for him, see, his intent then was to go directly back to Syria. Why Syria? Well, that's where the sending church at Antioch was. Syria is that country northeast of the land of Israel today, and that's where that church in Acts 13 was first established, in Antioch, and it was from there that Paul was sent out on these gospel journeys. And so we see here that he was about to sail into Syria, but purposed to return through Macedonia. In other words, to backtrack over land before going back across the sea and eventually to Syria. The plotting of some of these Jews that stood against the gospel made him take a more overland route back through Macedonia, but he wasn't alone. He was accompanied by many companions.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it shows us that we don't direct our own steps. It's the Lord that directs them. And here in verse 4, he describes some of these that accompanied him. There accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of Thessalonians, Aristarchus, and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus, and Trophimus.
Ndipo Thessalonica alistariko ndi sekundo ndi kalo wa kuderebeshe ndi Timoteo ndi wa aku Asia Tukiko ndi Trofimo.
And so these traveling companions here with Paul were representatives of these other churches, such as are mentioned there, Thessalonica, Berea, Derbe. These are places, these were representatives that were accompanying the Apostle Paul. And as I mentioned, while Paul was going through this area preaching the gospel, he was also collecting money for the needs of the impoverished believers that were in Jerusalem that were suffering persecution. We don't have the time to look at it right now, but you can read about this collection in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, that Paul had as his burden that these Gentile believers should come to the aid of their fellow Jewish believers, even though they were separate in their cultures, Jew and Gentile. But we can see even Paul here being concerned that this money that was collected be that was destined for the believers in Jerusalem, that the representatives from each congregation should go with him, and that Paul himself would not be the one handling that money. That shows carefulness as well, knowing how money can be the root of all evil, and especially for a preacher. We're not to serve for mammon. We're to serve the Lord for the honor and glory of Christ alone.
Ndipo mlaliki mtumiki sai ndikakhale wokonda ndalama aji koma akonde kulalika uchenga wabwino
It's interesting here in Acts 20 and verse 4, the names of two of these, one was Aristarchus and the other Secundus from Thessalonica. Aristarchus was a name that was connected with royalty. The word aristocrat we have in English. I don't know what you have in Chichewa, but an aristocrat was one of the ruling class. Aristarchus was a name connected with the ruling class of the day. In other words, wealth. Aristocracy is the word in English. Aristocracy. He likely came from a wealthy and powerful family. But also the name Secundus. They were both from Thessalonica. Secundus was a common name for a slave. You can see in the word Secundus the word second. That indicates somebody that was not of a first class, but rather a second class citizen or slave. But the reason I bring this out is because there's no part of Scripture that is just written for any reason at all. All of Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof and correction, and instruction in righteousness. And the lesson here is that God has his elect among all the different peoples of the world, whether Jew or Gentile, but even as we see here, whether rich or poor, it is the Lord who calls out his own. And what a beautiful example we see here of those for whom Christ died. And so we see here where these travel together according to God's purpose for their encouragement, but also the encouragement of the Apostle Paul. So we're going to have to stop there for today, but we'll pick up with this next time with verse 5 as we continue down through this chapter. But my prayer is that we've seen how the Lord directs the path of his servants and how it is he sustains and keeps each one that he has raised up to preach the gospel. I'll turn it back to you.
Wow. Speechless am I. This is another day. I was never heard about Secundus and Aristarchus with this kind of meanings that the Lord has preached to me. For sure, the Bible is complete, but I'm very sinful. That needs only Christ to reveal himself to me so that I can hear and understand things of God.
Amen.